From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
It's Thursday, March 19th, 2020, as Ken Drews and I are taping this show from our respective homes via Skype. In my weekly e-newsletter last Sunday, I said I didn't know just what to say or how to begin, since nothing seemed the same as it had a mere 7 days prior to that. All I came up with was this thought, and it's how we'll start today's show, too. Maybe more than ever before in my life, I'm grateful today to have a garden. What a blessing it feels like. I can't imagine the weeks and months ahead without the refuge it will provide. Perhaps you all feel the same way. So Ken and I want to talk about what our gardens mean to us, and especially what they can mean to all of us gardeners in this unusual year. But first, these messages.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com.
Fellow garden author Ken Drews and I have known each other through many gardening seasons, like about 30, and we've each been gardening longer than that. But this year already feels different, of course, and we wanted to talk about that and what plans we have to take full advantage of the refuge aspect of our own backyards. Hi, Ken.
Oh, hi, Margaret.
Hi. We've been talking. We could tell everybody we've been talking virtually every day, haven't we, lately?
Yes, and we're talking about what everyone's talking about, which is the virus.
And then through the filter, as you and I have talked about everything in our lives for the 30 years-ish that we've known each other, we're talking about it through the filter of the garden. It's kind of, you know, an eerie juxtaposition out the window and on fair days outside, when we can go outside right now, of sort of unfolding beauty and innocence, you know, tiny bulbs, plump little buds, and the headlines hourly and daily. So, you know, I wanted to backtrack about what gardening means to us and sort of what brought us to it. What brought you to, how long have you been gardening?
Okay, since I was very young. How's that?
Yeah, little boy.
Since I was a teenager, mm-hmm. and I started with indoor plants and got really turned on. And then when I went to college in Rhode Island, I was kind of close to Danielson, Connecticut, which is where Logies is.
Yes.
And, you know, I was thinking about all this stuff, and I think that shopping has a lot to do with my acquisitiveness and my interest in, you know, seeing a new plant, finding a new plant, thinking, mm-hmm. they're all so incredible. And shopping online is something you can do now solo mm-hmm. really well.
Uh-oh, so you're going to be spending some money. And when you said you were a teenager and so forth, what did it, besides the sort of amassing a collection, that sort of instinct that you apparently had, was there some other escapism or something else that brought you to it? Or, you know, I don't know. I don't want to project onto you. I mean, I can tell you mine, but I just, you know, I don't know.
I think that I know I have a need to nurture. Mm-hmm. And I just love, it's so exciting to see, you know, it seems like slow motion in most cases, but to see a plant grow and thrive, or something from a seed, sometimes that's pretty fast. Mm. And then from a seed to, in your case, edibles, mm-hmm. it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And to participate in that, I'm thinking how heartwarming it is. And that's, it's a boost.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I was in my 20s, and, you know, I mean, you know the story. Most of my listeners know the story. You know, I was in my 20s, my father had died. The next year, my mother, who was 49, was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease. I don't even think they called it that at that time, but that was the idea. And so there I was, called home to care for my widowed mother, and that unfolded this strange time in my young life, and I was close to home. I had to stay close to home during the days. I had a job at night. Someone else came and cared for her at night. And what are you going to do? I mean, as I always say, how, you can only watch so much daytime TV when you're 24 or 25 years old. And so I got a garden book. Someone gave me Crockett's Victory Garden, and I, which seems, that expression Victory Garden seems appropriate right now. Mm-hmm. And I just started doing the stuff in it. Like, you know, I started going to the local garden center, and whatever it said, I just bought those seeds or that plant, or, you know, and just did these crazy experiments, and obviously killed most of the things in the early going. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, but that was my entree, was during a very dark time in my younger life. So it's been a refuge for me, you know, number of times. It's seen me through. I have often said my garden has saved me many times. So, you know, I find I'm thinking of spending more time outside because I can't go anywhere at the moment. And all of my events, I'm sure like yours, have been postponed at mm-hmm. least through May, and I'm sure through June and whatever as well. Are you thinking of doing more? I'm trying to assign myself some projects, things I've put off because usually I have garden visitors and I can't make a mess and leave the mess there for weeks while I, you know, do a big renovation or something. And I'm thinking, well, this is the time, Margaret. Nobody's coming, right?
Well, we already talked about me shopping, and I haven't really gotten that into that, but I probably will. Usually I shop for something because I see something, and then I track it down online, and then that leads me, oh, they have a minimum order. Oh, and then there's five plants, and you only wanted one, and then there's a shipping savings if you buy $149 worth of plants. Not that I've ever done that. But no. It's almost time for me to spruce up the house plants, and that's something I can do, and it's something I should do. You know, do a house plant rehab. Every day I run to the light cart to see who's changed or what seed has sprouted. You know, that miracle. I'm never tired of that miracle. So there's that. I planted some perennials yesterday that came in the mail, and they were dormant. So that's happening already, and that's going to continue. I got a bare root cherry tree that I'm growing in a pot. I don't know why.
Right. Well, but whatever gets you through, I mean, I think, right? So you said, I loved that you said, who's changed? You went to the light cart to look at all your little babies. You said, who? You didn't say what's. You said, who? And I think of them the same way. To me, plants are not some inanimate object, some it, right? You know, mm-hmm. I think of them as who, not what. But so you said houseplant rehab. So this is a time for that, and we have time because we're home, and we have time to notice, and we can. That's a good suggestion for me, because a lot of years I get so hectic trying to get ready for the open gardens. Right. I don't do my repotting of those houseplants on their way out the door for the summer. Do you know what I mean? I skip it. So that's a really good one.
Well, I kind of do it when they're on their way out, which is late, usually mid-May. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be great for me to clean the leaves with a sponge and a couple of drops of dish soap and a quart of warm water and just clean off the dust, but also some of them get a little sooty mold, and there's all sorts of insects that can actually be removed with a sponge and a tiny bit of soap and water. So the things that are evergreen, which is most of the houseplants, and things that have firm leaves like citrus and camellia, if you grow things like that, and philodendron, which you can grow almost anywhere, some of the philodendron, I put my hand under the leaf and just rub the top, you know, just brush the sponge over it, and almost everything comes right off, and the plants look so much better, and then they say thank you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, spending a winter indoors is not really their thing, and there's all that unseen dust that moves around in the air with the heating system, when the heating system's on in any house, right? And, you know, you find that fine dust, like my clivias all have that by this time of year, and they need a nice tending. You have a camellia. You grow Hoyas, don't you?
I do grow Hoyas. There's one at the kitchen window, And luckily, that's very close to the kitchen sink, because if a plant's small enough, it'll go right in the kitchen sink and get washed off there. Or, you know, you have your Calliveas, you probably take them to the shower.
Yeah, I do. I do. But, yeah. But the Hoyas, I've never grown them. I've never grown them.
Some Hoyas need a greenhouse, and, well, we can talk about what they are. They used to be part of the milkweed family, but I think they've separated them now. Mm-hmm. But they're semi-succulent. They have thick leaves. They're pretty slow-growing, except in the spring when they kind of shoot. I have one wonderful one called Hoya carrii, and I started with one leaf in a pot, and it stayed that way for about 5 years. One leaf in a pot many years ago. And then all of a sudden, it just exploded. And now it's a very big viney plant. I have it on a wreath circle, you know, stuck in this. Well, it's a long story, but I've wound it round and round. And it has beautiful flowers when it blooms in the summer. And it has heart-shaped leaves. I have another one that has purple flowers. They don't flower very often, and it's important not to trim it, trim where the flowers come, because it blooms on spurs, kind of like an apple tree, and it'll bloom over and over again on the same spurs. So you have to not cut those back.
So don't deadhead, so to speak. Oh.
Exactly. Oh. Well, the flowers fall off, and they're fragrant, almost all of them. And if you do cut it or trim it, it will bleed white latex like a lot of succulents and milkweeds.
Milkweeds, right. Where do you, if a person wanted to think about adopting a Hoya, where would they look? I mean, did you get yours from friends or what?
Well, I got the one with the carrii with the one single leaf at a flower show in Virginia.
Oh.
Probably 17 years ago, maybe more. Right. And it was like $2.50. It was expensive for one leaf.
Right.
But Logie's greenhouses, I mentioned before, they have some Giordano Hoyas, I think it's called. But if you look online, there are people who specialize in Hoyas. And when you read about them, some of them make really good houseplants because they can take low humidity. And some of them want lots of humidity. The leaves are different on every single one, as are the flowers. They bloom in clusters. It's kind of hard to describe. They're like stars in these fireworks clusters. And some of them smell like cinnamon. And Hoya carrii smells kind of like clove and tomato. In other words, it smells kind of like ketchup.
That's funny. And you're the guy who just wrote a book about fragrance, so the sensual garden. So I guess you'd have thought this through about what things smell like. Yeah.
And this is a wonderful situation we're in. It's a terrible situation, but it's a wonderful time to think about dreaming about fragrance. You know, to feel a little better.
Yeah. Get a whiff of something wonderful. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I should say, we'll show the pictures. It's hard to describe something like a Hoya, and we'll show the pictures with a transcript of the show and also give the links to some of the places that do sell them if people are interested. Because as you just said, one of them you got 17 years ago as a leaf. I mean, speaking of using personal pronouns, this creature is still with you 17 years later, a faithful companion, yeah? So, I think there's something really positive about that. And as I've said many times before, my Calliveas, many giant pots of Calliveas are my grandmother's. So I don't even know if these plants are 60 years old or 70 years. I don't even know when she got them, but I've had them for more than 40. So
have you ever repotted them?
Yes. But it gets to the point where, where am I going to put all the, you know what I mean? They're in like 18-inch plus pots. And anyway, but yes, and that's one of the things I think that I'm not going to put off this spring, because I do have the time and I'm here. And I think that assigning myself little tasks like that in this very distracting and very difficult time is really important as a, to break up that reading the, you know, refreshing your browser to see what the headlines. You know what? I want to get lost in repotting the clivias, I think, right? I mean, I think that's what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And another thing I was thinking about is, you know, I mentioned Victory Garden before or whatever, and that was my first book, and I was thinking Victory Garden now, you know, it's not a time of war, but it is a time that feels like that. And I thought, you know, I have these big, big bowls. They're like 2.5-3 feet across, these low terracotta bowls. And I have them on the patio and near the house. And, you know, they're sort of these where I put my, quote, annuals, you know, and so that it looks showy during the garden tours. Well, there won't be any garden tours probably at all this year. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just going to do all kinds of colors and textures of lettuces and greens in those, and it'll just be my little, I'll pinch a few here and there and make a salad or a saute, you know, a stir fry every day. And do you know what I mean? I'm sort of rethinking, since I'm going to be here mostly alone and doing my
thing. You don't want to go to the market. You don't want to be near people if you can help it. Right. And especially with greens, you can buy canned food and things like that, but you really can't buy fresh vegetables until the winter, things that will last. Although, speaking of winter, I will be growing some butternut squash in one of the few places I have a little bit of sun, because I've had some success with butternut squash in like bright shade and little bit of sun.
Yeah, it's a great, that's my favorite. And I have a few more from last year's garden that are still with me because I grow the variety from Turtle Tree Seed. It's just butternut, but it's been selected for 25 years or something at Turtle Tree Seed, and neighbors of mine, that seed company is right near me, for lastingness. Every year they see which fruits last the longest and replant from those. I'm oversimplifying, but they've been selecting for 2 decades plus for lastingness. And I'm telling you, I have these massive, fabulous butternuts sitting in the kitchen with me right now, looking for their time in the soup pot or whatever. And they're perfect in late March, you know?
Well, you've got sun, so you might think about things that you can put up. I know you freeze a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But in the old days and during World War II, you know, Victory Gardens, as you said, a lot of people grew stuff that they could can. And people don't can as much. Well, if you've got a big freezer, that's great.
Yeah.
But growing things that you can, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think for me, the garden's going to look different. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be more about my connecting to it and right around the house and feeding me and, you know, things that when the garden's usually open to the public certain days, it's not always the same focus. So that's going to shift for me. The birds are super important to me now. I don't know if you enjoy them there at your place, but I'm super excited because a pair of Carolina wrens that has been with me all winter, they're tiny birds and they have a lot of personality, like all the wrens. And this pair has been right around the house all winter and talking and making all kinds of fun sounds. And they've been eyeing, clinging to the back porch post that has vines surrounding it all winter, sort of staring at the house, like staring at the from the edge of the porch posts at the house. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Why are you always here all winter? Well, it turns out they're planning on using one of the old Phoebe nests that was left behind last year, sort of on the porch posts, tucked in the corner by the roof of the porch. They're now building a nest on top of the Phoebe's nest from last year.
I have Carolina wrens too, and they think this is their house.
Yes.
They yell at me. They yell at the dogs even more.
Yes.
Every time I go out, it's, you know,
yes, chitter chatter. Yes. And I just, again, this is a time to be happy for these treats, right? I mean, I'm looking forward to when, you know, all the insects, the bees start buzzing. I mean, I have honeybees collecting some nectar or pollen, whatever, from some of the early bulbs and the pussy willows and things. But you know, I'm looking forward to the awakenings, right? Because I mean, need a counterpoint. Yeah, so those are some of the things that are changing here. Are you doing any other sort of projects? Or, like I said, I can make a mess now this year, so I am going to do these areas that I've put off, a few areas that I've put off rehabbing. Anything there like that?
Well, we took down a really big spruce tree, and now there's a little more sun, and I want to figure that out. You know, usually the way I garden and plan and design is whoever comes in the mail, it's an emergency and they get plugged in, and that's the garden in many cases. But I've got an opportunity to design and plan. So I'm going to take a good long look at that. I might develop another couple of areas. Certainly rehab, that's definitely a big one. You know, every year I think I'm going to take all of the perennials out of the border, clean the whole thing up, and put them back. I did it once, you know, on big tarps and everything. And I've been putting that off for about 3 years, so maybe this is the year for that.
It's a good time right now. I was outside yesterday doing some pruning, and it was very satisfying. I mean, it's not like I did anything, you know, epic level or anything. It didn't, no one else would probably notice the difference, but it just felt good. Like, it just, do you know what I mean? I could see, and this is the thing I love about some of these simple tasks. There are tangible, instant rewards, and you feel better, like you've accomplished something. And sometimes when all this other stuff is so big and we can't control it, it feels good to take all the suckers off a branch of an old magnolia, right?
I think almost everything that we do feels good. Yeah. And it feels good while you're doing it. And then to my surprise, I take a few steps back and realize, oh, I've cleaned that whole space up.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I was doing it. You know, you just get started, and before you know it, you've weeded a whole area.
Yeah. I turned on, I mucked out the, you know, leaves and fallen debris in one of my two in-ground water gardens yesterday, and I turned it on, and I'll tell you, the sound of the running water is also extremely welcome right now.
Soothing.
That's a soothing sound, yeah. So tomorrow I think it'll be a little warmer, and I think I'll do, I think I'll do the other one. So that kind of starts the season for me. In the last minute or two, I mean, this is a trick question, a surprise question. I was thinking we all need reading lists also. And I was going to reread, pulling out of the shelf, I was thinking of rereading some of the earliest garden books I read, some of the, you know, Gertrude Jekyll, the old English stuff, or I don't know what, but anything that you would recommend to people that helped you when you got started gardening?
Well, you know, you talked about the Victory Garden book.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Logies, and it was the Logies catalog, because it was before the internet. And it didn't, I don't think it had very many pictures, but just reading that catalog. So we both got started on paper.
Yeah. I find the seed catalogs can be, you know, really distracting and a great adventure.
Certainly have come, and some of them go right to recycling, Ken.
Yeah.
And some of them, like Annie's annuals, gets looked at and looked at and looked at, and I think, I can't grow that.
Yeah.
I really want it. It's mouthwatering. So yeah, the catalogs have arrived, and I'll be looking at those, and I'd have to give it a little thought on what book I might look
at. Well, you'll tell me. But Christopher Lloyd is another, I have all his books, the late Christopher Lloyd, who did Great Dixter Garden in England. And I'm thinking I'm going to reread, I forget what they're, which one, but I'm going to reread some Christopher Lloyd too for inspiration. So anyway, it's good talking to you as ever, and we'll be chatting on the phone and everything. But thank you for sharing, as they say.
Okay. My pleasure, Margaret.
All right. Take good care. Be safe.
Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States, with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com. Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com.
Thanks to all of you for listening, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.